This is your operating system talking, not your computers or your phones, but your internal human operating system. I'm feeling a little overloaded. Here's how you can ease my stress. Close your eyes or softly gaze at something in front of you. Now inhale for 4 counts, exhale for 6. Keep repeating. Much better. Longer term, there's BetterHelp Online Therapy. They'll match us with a licensed therapist we can connect with via video, phone, or chat. Visit betterhelp.com/positive and save 10% on our first month.
Capital One believes that everyone deserves easier access to their money whenever they need it, in a simple and secure way. With advancements in machine learning technology, online shopping is now a breeze with Capital One. Autofill payment fields and get assigned a virtual card number for more secure online purchases. Plus, machine learning is also constantly fighting fraud and alerts you of all suspicious activity on your account. See how Capital One is using machine learning for the future of banking at CapitalOne.com. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
And then there were three. That's it. Just three teams that are still standing as undefeateds in the NFL. And we're not even through week number three. If the New York Giants can beat the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday night. Nope. Sorry, Monday night. There goes the perfect show. Just like that, we're 45 seconds in and I already screwed up. But you know what? If that's the only mistake I make or the biggest mistake I make tonight, this will be a successful show. It's one hell of a weekend. Whether or not you watched it all, whether or not you followed it all, just take my word for it. It was crazy, per the usual, as we build toward October. The final full weekend of September and the first weekend of fall, it was just a precursor, if you will, hors d'oeuvres for what's to come in the month of October. And it was pretty insane from start to finish, going back to Friday night. And if you don't remember what happened Friday night, well, we've got you covered. So, okay, back to the Giants, not Sunday night, because that would be in the past. Back to the future, we'd have to go. But Monday night, if the Giants can beat the Cowboys on Monday night, we will have three teams. Three. That's it. Just three who've survived with perfect records. Not perfect teams, but perfect records through the first 3 weeks of the regular season. Honestly, as I think about the teams that are still without a loss, and the teams that lost their first games today, like the Bills, like the Chiefs, like the Bucks, I have zero clue who the best team in the NFL is right now. I could make a case for the Eagles. I could maybe make a case for the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins are tough. I think they're stubborn as heck. I love that about the Dolphins, because I'm stubborn as heck. So I could make a case for the Dolphins, but I honestly don't think they're the best team in the NFL. You have to consider not just three wins, but how they've won. They did just take out a team that had rumbled through the first 2 weeks of the regular season without a whole lot of trouble. But I don't know. I could probably make a better case for the Eagles than I could for the Dolphins. I definitely can't make a case for the Giants, regardless of what happens on Monday night. But three wins is three wins. You know, a win is a win is a win is a win, baby. And once you got them in hand, nobody can take them away. In addition to the undefeateds, there were a bunch of teams that picked up their first wins on Sunday. And again, with the Cowboys and Giants coming up Monday, we'll get the full view through 3 weeks. But remember, race to consistency. That's what they're trying to do in this first month. Every team, both sides of the ball and special teams, just attempting to settle into a rhythm so that it's less roller coaster and fire hose and more even keel. More old man golf, if you will. Where maybe they don't hit the ball as deep, but man, it's straight down the middle every single time. Boring is good when you're in the NFL if it means fewer turnovers and less moments. As I say, less fire hose moments. Thinking about the teams, though, that were able to pick up their first win this weekend, it's kind of cool. I'm excited for them. Those teams that got off the schneid, kind of broke that seal, if you will. Carolina Panthers and Baker Mayfield. Matt Rhule, of course, is the head coach, much maligned. They snap a 9-game losing skid that goes back to last season. So that's huge. The Atlanta Falcons get their first win of the season. So they are two NFC South teams picking up their first wins. If you're thinking about the AFC, yeah, the Raiders are still winless. And the Texans are still winless, so they have that pesky tie. But the Tennessee Titans, the number one seed in the AFC postseason last year, finally get their first win. The Indianapolis Colts also pick up their first win, and their record is strange. I hate this. When I was writing it out in my cards and now looking at it in the standings, 1-1-1. What are you, a freaking hockey team? Stop it. 1-1-1. No NFL team should ever be 1-1-1. That's gross. I can't even talk about it again. That's the last time you're going to hear me talk about it. The Cincinnati Bengals, who were the AFC champs last winter. So yeah, look at that. The Titans, who were the top seed in the AFC, and the Bengals, who went to the Super Bowl for the AFC, don't get their first wins until week three. My gosh. We knew the AFC was going to be a monster. A monster. Oh my gosh. I feel like I'm so accomplished now that I've made that reference. I'm good. I can go home. Forget the mistake I made to start the show. It is now a perfect show. Monsters and all. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Producer Jay and I have that Sunday night is crazy. Can't remember what happened 4 hours ago looks on our faces, because it's a good thing I write everything down. If I didn't take these notes, trying to remember what happened in the early games this afternoon, which now are more than 12 hours ago, would be impossible. And I don't like impossible. I don't like when somebody tells me it's impossible or it can't be done. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. In your opinion, who is the best team in the NFL right now? I actually think it would be easier to tell us who aren't the best teams in the NFL right now, but that's too easy. And also, we discovered last week a topic, a theme, a poll, if you will, that we really like. We're going to call it Monday Mortification. So when these teams wake up on Monday, who is the most mortified? Who suffers the most mortifying Monday? I don't know. I think the Patriots might have to be in that poll this week. And it's not so much because they lost. It's how they lost and the fact that they may have lost their starting quarterback for a time. So Patriots strike me as having a whole lot of Monday mortification. I think I'm going to put the Chiefs in that category as well, because I'm still not quite sure how they lost. I won't ever tell you a team needs to lose, because I'm not sure that's accurate. I think it depends upon the team. That's an old adage that I don't always buy into. But a loss like what the Chiefs suffered on Sunday can be productive. I think it's important, too, for a team that's had so much success to get punched in the mouth a bit. Not that I'm condoning punching people or teams in the mouth. So I'm thinking, at least from the AFC, although the Raiders could, we can make a case for the Raiders as well. Oh, dear. How am I going to narrow this down to four? Jay, how are we? That way Jay's involved as well. How are we, if people don't love it, going to narrow this down to four?
It's tough because I'm already thinking of ones that haven't even been said yet.
I know. Well, that's kind of the beauty of it, is that you can always write in your own ballot. But yeah, for starters, I think Chiefs and Patriots need to be in there. I don't know if the Niners should be mortified necessarily, but man, if you're going to have a game that ugly and your defense is going to work that hard and do that much damage, you think you want to get a W out of it. The Bucks, I know they're 2-1, but they have 3 offensive touchdowns in 3 games. When was the last time you could say that about a Tom Brady-led team? 3 offensive touchdowns in 3 weeks? It's strange. Strange first month in the NFL. So again, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and we'll put up that poll about mortification on Monday. Just because it's a new theme. As sports fans, we tend to gravitate toward the mortifying more than the magical. Ooh, but we've got magical this weekend too, if you must know. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. Hope that you had a great weekend. I hope it was your first ode to fall. I actually got a couple of surprises in the mail, which was cool, and tamed my jungle of a backyard. Now I like looking out my kitchen window again. It did take 2 hours and a whole lot of sore muscles. But when I had chocolate layer cake for my dessert on Saturday night, it was totally worth it. Let's dive into Sunday Night Football, shall we? Jimmy Garoppolo starting again for the San Francisco 49ers on the road at Denver. And right away, you can see that rhythm and that veteran presence, that experience come through, even in front of a hostile crowd. But remember, last week when he stepped on the field to take over for an injured Trey Lance, he was able to not only finish the drive he was in with a field goal, if I remember correctly, but then first full drive that he was back, they scored a touchdown. You may not think much of Jimmy Garoppolo, but the man can direct an offense.
Samuel and Ayuk both split to the left. Garoppolo under center. Wilson is the tailback. Second and goal from the 3. Ball is on the right hash. Garoppolo takes the snap. Quick pass left side. Caught by Ayuk. Touchdown San Francisco. A 3-yard touchdown on the quick slant to Brandon Ayuk. And the 49ers are on the board first. 6-0 San Francisco. 7:56 to go here in the first quarter.
Brandon Ayuk caps that 75-yard drive with a 3-yard rush of his own. And for the Niners initially, I should say receiving. Sorry about that. Whoops, there goes another. Just mistake. I learned a long time ago, it does irk me still, but I learned a long time ago that A, own up to your mistakes. There's a lot to remember. B, there's no such thing as perfect in this business. Okay, Brandon Ayuk was really the key. And Ryan Radke with the call on Westwood One. So initially, we see that Niners offense move. But if you love offense, that was pretty much it from the first half. Actually, pretty much it for the first 3 quarters. Denver had as many 3 and outs as points in the first half. That's not a recipe for success. I may not know much, but that's definitely not a recipe for a winning team. And that theme really continued into the second half. Until we got this quirky play, this odd moment that seemed to, in its own way, spark the Denver Broncos.
Wilson in there is the single back now, lined up 5 yards deep in the end zone. One wide receiver split to the left. Garoppolo under center takes the snap, play fake, backing up, back of the end zone, nearly stepped out of the end zone, throws, oh! And it's intercepted. It's picked off by Chubb, into the end zone. Touchdown.
Quarterback stepped over the back of the end zone. It is a safety.
They'll say it's a safety that Garoppolo stepped on the end line first.
Oh, it's definitely a safety.
So that'll end up saving the 49ers at least 4, maybe 5 points. Garoppolo was backpedaling and definitely with that right foot stepped on the back line of the end zone, then threw one up to Jeff Wilson and Bradley Chubb went up high.
It is a safety.
It was like the the referee cut off Ryan Radke. Like, stop talking about the interception. There's no interception.
And Bradley Chubb went up high.
It is a safety.
Right in the middle of Radke talking about how Chubb goes up high, the focus really needs to be on the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo stepped out of the back of the end zone. He was seeing pressure. Two defensive linemen in his face, and he was backpedaling. He was dropping and then takes a second drop and boom, steps on the white paint behind the end zone. And honestly, well, maybe it's a gauge of your age if you instantly thought of Dan Orlovsky. The fact that one time Dan Orlovsky was quarterbacking for the Detroit Lions and he was running along the back of the end zone and not only ran out of the end zone, but man, had quite the full head of steam and would have turned that into an unbelievable play, except end zones are not 11 yards. And so, of course, he had to weigh in on Twitter. Now, on Sunday Night Football, Mike Tirico mentioned him, and by the time Tirico recalled Orlovsky and mentioned that the only time he's ever seen a quarterback run out of the end zone like that was Orlovsky, Dan had already tweeted, in all caps, by the way, "I've never been happier. Freedom!" In other words, I'm not the only one anymore. Thank you for that, Jimmy Garoppolo. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, I get it. That was 2 points, and the Niners were still up 7-5. But in my opinion, this game was not going to turn if the Niners didn't make mistakes. The Niners' defense had a stranglehold on the Broncos' offense. And well into the fourth quarter, they had more three and outs than points. In fact, even with that safety, they had more three and outs than points. But it was a mistake by the Niners that gave the Broncos maybe a sliver of hope, a glimmer or a sliver of hope. But really, there was still not much offense into the fourth quarter. Russell Wilson tends to operate at his best or at his peak when he feels like he's got room to move around. When he can use his legs to extend plays, maybe wait for guys to get vertical downfield. But the defense really wasn't lending itself to that for a good portion of this game. And also, when he was throwing downfield, maybe he was off a little bit, or he was seeing pressure from the defensive line. They settled into a rhythm there in the fourth quarter, and it was like flipping a switch. And I'm not saying it was that easy, only that it was so different than what we'd seen from the Broncos offense really for the entire game. But also, thinking about the first 3 weeks, we've only seen glimpses of this from Denver with their very costly QB. Not just in money, but what they gave up to get him in Denver. But if this is what Russell Wilson can do with the weapons he's got, then there is hope for that Broncos offense. So an 80-yard, 6-minute drive, it was a mix of deep shots and scrambles by Russ, seeing what the defense was giving him, watching him open up in front of him so he could run for a first down. And then a healthy mix with multiple running backs to keep the defense off balance.
Broncos will operate out of the eye. Extra offensive lineman in the game. Saubert, the tight end, goes in motion from left to right. Here's the snap. Handoff Gordon, left side, into the end zone. Touchdown, Broncos. Melvin Gordon races in from 1 yard out. And with 4:10 remaining, the Broncos lead 11-10. A 2-point try coming up.
I mean, that's the whole idea of when it's an ugly game or offenses are playing ugly, but you keep it within one score. If you can pull it together for one drive, it can make all the difference in the world. Now they have the lead. Can they get the lead to three?
Wilson takes the snap, back to pass, looking, fires over the middle, batted down, incomplete. So it remains an 11-10 game. The 49ers now would need just a field goal to take the lead. Javon Kinlaw able to swat that one away. And the Broncos on top by one. 2 minutes, 19 seconds to go in the game. First and 10, 49ers from their own 48. McLeod in motion from left to right. Two receivers to that side. Garoppolo with a shotgun snap. Back to pass. Looking. Throws down the middle and it's incomplete. It's intercepted. The ball was tipped and it's intercepted. The Broncos picked it off. Jonas Griffith comes away with it. And Denver will take over with 2:06 remaining in the game. Griffith goes racing into the end zone and tosses the ball up into the stands.
Defense, defense, defense. Little bit of special teams. The slightest dose, almost a pinch of offense. And yet, that's how the Broncos win their second straight game. Ryan Radke on Westwood One. That's kind of what they did against Houston, actually. In week number two, similar formula. So how much can you ask the Broncos defense to keep opponents at bay? How many big plays can you come up with on defense and special teams without the offense giving you more than one or two quality drives per game? Broncos won't win like that. Not in the AFC West and not in the conference as a whole. But you take the wins where you can get them and you hope that what you saw in the fourth quarter from your quarterback, from your run game, from the offensive line, that's a precursor for what's to come as the Broncos settle in. There's a lot that's new here. A new head coach, obviously, we've talked about Nathaniel Hackett, who's hired a consultant, assistant, game manager. Well, you'll hear Nathaniel Hackett talk about Jerry Rosberg, who's now part of the coaching staff with a specific purpose. Plus, Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo reunited. Kyle can't quit Jimmy. And yet the first start post-Trey Lance is a loss. So Sunday Night Football, the last one on what was a very full day. A lot still to chew over. Some you'll want to spit out. It's like eating peanuts at the ballpark. If you can spit out the shells. We got a lot of shells, but we got some good peanuts too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Garoppolo back to pass in the end zone, steps up in the pocket, looking, dumps it short over the middle, that's caught. Wilson across the 15, out to the 20, hit from behind, he fumbled, and the Broncos recover. Denver is going to win. Denver is going to win the game.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Ryan Radke and Mike Golic on Westwood One, coverage of Sunday Night Football from Denver, where the Broncos moved to 2-1. And it's another one of those teams with a record that I think maybe covers up the struggles that they've had, similar to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are also 2-1 and yet have three offensive touchdowns so far this season. The Broncos are not far off that. And for the majority of this game, Denver had more three and outs than points. Essentially one quality drive. A couple field goals, field goal and a safety in there, but really only one quality drive. They don't take the lead until the final 5 minutes of this one at home, where there was a smattering of boos from the crowd in Denver, but also them counting down the play clock again.
We went in there, we knew we were going to have to be downhill. We knew that they were very good defense, and we knew it was going to be just incremental. We knew we were going to have to check the ball down and get some yards after the catch. Those things weren't, you know, happening as well as we wanted them to, but we just kind of try to stay to the state of the plan. We want to be sure we protect the edges because those two rushers that they have are very good, and so we try to get as many people as we could on them. And, the guys just stayed together.
third quarter was a little shaky. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about finding a way to win. And that fourth quarter drive, we found a way to, you know, get the ball in the end zone. And that's all that matters.
Courtland Sutton had a couple of really big plays, chunk yardage plays. He was a major weapon for Russell Wilson. 8 catches, 97 yards. Melvin Gordon, 17 touches on the football. Not much more than 50 yards, but still really active against the defense. And really, if you're the Niners, you don't have any quibbles with the defense. Actually, George Kittle, welcome back, George Kittle, was praising what he saw on the other side of the ball.
Please keep doing that the whole season. I mean, when you have a defense like that, especially like we got to practice against them, so like we're getting good work against them. They come out, they, you know, bust their tails every single play. I mean, like, I think they had like one bad drive where they gave up one touchdown tonight, gave up 6 points, really, and then we gave up 2 to them, and they had a field goal. Like, they're playing really well, you know. D-line's playing well. Eric didn't play tonight, but, you know, they still played at a really high level. Linebackers continue to play at a high level. Flanagan came in for Aziz, and I thought he played really well. Our DBs are playing well. As an offense, we have to put more than 10 points on the scoreboard.
So San Francisco is making a transition from the quarterback they thought they would have this season. More athletic, obviously a guy who can use his legs. They want him to move around more, his injury notwithstanding, the criticism of Shanahan notwithstanding. They certainly want to use the run game. They certainly want to control the ball. But they believe their defense can keep them in games. So this is the formula we've seen with the Niners for few years now. The offense isn't likely to be super flashy. They can mix in some more Deebo Samuel, although he was hurt in this game. And so that takes away from what they can do in terms of the athleticism and the flash, right? The versatility with Samuel. But they've got quality backs. And they certainly have receivers who can make plays. My gosh, even Kyle Juszczyk with the toe drag swag along the sidelines. So they've got guys who can make plays. Garoppolo can't turn the ball over. That's critical. When you have a guy who's more of a game manager, you cannot turn the ball over. Now, neither offense was fantastic. It wasn't that much different than the second half of the Buccaneers and the Packers, with one drive that was the exception. So we're seeing this still in the first month of the NFL season because teams are not into a rhythm, and where they've changed coaches or quarterbacks or systems or schemes or yada, 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 go on and on, or they just didn't play in the preseason. As I say, it's a race to consistency. But certainly Shanahan never expected to be starting Jimmy Garoppolo in week number 3.
Felt like we had a lot of shots in the first half. You know, kind of went exactly how we wanted in terms of moving the ball, getting some big plays, but had a number of penalties that I thought hurt us in the first half, and then we didn't convert a third down. I believe we were 0-4, so I thought we should have a lot more points to show for what we did in the first half. In the second half, never got into a rhythm. When we did, we had that fumbled snap, got backed up, went into the safety, had another turnover, didn't get the run game quite going, and just never could really get in the rhythm in the second half that we had in the first. And when you don't convert a third down till, I think, that last drive, that's usually not a good recipe.
Altogether, just a sloppy day. I think we had really one clean drive. I got points off of it, and other than that, the defense really, you know, kept us in that game. But just overall, just a sloppy day. We were just not in rhythm. We started off pretty good, too. I felt like we were in a rhythm early, and then we kind of just got away from it, and I don't know. Things didn't go our way.
I thought he played real well in the first half. I mean, I thought he was made some plays, hit the ones that were there, and then made some that weren't there. In the second half, I don't think anyone on offense did good, including myself. I mean, we didn't really get into rhythm the whole time, and our defense did a hell of a job keeping us in there, but we weren't able to get it going.
It was barely more than 500 yards of offense combined in this game. Just as a side note, this is apparently only the second time in NFL history there's ever been a game with the final score of 11-10. I'm pretty sure we've had some baseball games that have been 11-10 this season. So the Broncos moved to 2-1. The Niners are 1-2. And it's a little odd to look at what's happening in the NFC West, isn't it? This is a division that obviously produced multiple playoff teams last year. Three of them, as a matter of fact. Seattle's the team that's supposed to be the basement dweller, the bottom feeder. But right now, the Niners, the Seahawks, and the Cardinals are all sitting at 1-2. The Rams had a relatively handy win over Arizona today, and so right now the Super Bowl champs are at 2-1. But that's weird. That division's weird. There's a lot of weird about the NFL in this first 3 weeks. We're going to put out the poll that we've decided we love, because misery and mortification love company. So we'll get that up on our show Twitter after hours CBS. But right now, who would you say is the best team in the NFL? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or you can weigh in on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I mentioned Packers and Buccaneers just before the break, and the fact that there was a good portion of Green Bay, Tampa Bay in Florida that was UGLY, you ain't got no alibi, yo ugly. I mean, there's going to be some ugly football early in the year. And also, when you get to quality defenses together like Denver and San Francisco, the way that the Bucs play defense, of course there's going to be some ugly offensive football. But defense wins championships, so I've been told. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's look at Packers and Bucs in Tampa. It was hot in Florida on Sunday, in case you didn't catch that, from either the Dolphins-Bills game, in which Buffalo players were dehydrated and dropping like flies. I mean, guys were cramping up. They couldn't get enough fluids. They were leaving to get IVs in the locker room. Some guys never did return. This was brutal heat and humidity, and if you're not used to it, well, it can take its toll. And it was similar type of heat and humidity with the Packers and the Buccaneers. In fact, they create these makeshift tents almost, makeshift lean-tos, where the guys can sit in the shade because it's so brutal down there on the field. Was that the game that Greg Olsen was doing? It was. Green Bay, Tampa Bay, and he kept talking about how it was 300 degrees in the press box, and they kept showing him in the hopes that he would have completely sweated through his shirt. That was going to be the entertainment on Fox. It was fine. It was a white shirt. You couldn't even tell. So we've got the Monday mortification candidates, as we say, whew, that was quite an NFL Sunday, and move into a Monday morning. All of you will be on a Monday morning eventually. We like this new poll. Which team should be feeling the most mortification on the Monday after the Sunday that is week number 3. Now, we've pulled a couple of candidates, but hey, Jay, you spelled one of them wrong. You're going to have to redo the poll.
I'll always say that Twitter needs an edit button.
I can't. I can't have a spelling error in a tweet that I retweet, so you're going to have to do it again.
Yep, I see it.
Okay. Wait, are you sure about Tampa? You picked Tampa, right? Are you sure about Tampa? I mean, I don't know if I'd be mortified if I'm Tampa, but that's okay. It's totally fine.
Offense is looking pretty rough.
It is. That's true. 3 offensive touchdowns in 3 total weeks. All right, let's talk about this game then. Packers and Buccaneers, and Jay can fix his spelling error as we head up toward the top of the hour on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. So no Mike Evans in this game because he's serving the 1-game suspension for protecting his quarterback kind of. And no Julio Jones either. He's out for, I can't remember what the issue is. Maybe it's a sprained MCL, but he's out for Tampa as well. Godwin's still dealing with his injuries and trying to get back to full strength. And so there are a lot of missing pieces for Tampa, not to mention a couple of offensive linemen. Speaking of O-linemen, though, David Bakhtiari, did you see those T-shirts the Buccaneers were wearing earlier in the day? The Packers were wearing earlier in the day. Bakhtiari T-shirts, and it was cool. It was cool to see him back. He wasn't out there every snap. Clearly, they're limiting his snaps a little bit, but good for him to be out there on the line, and you can tell how much Aaron Rodgers appreciates him when he's on the field. The Pack actually get out to a near-perfect start in this game. Two touchdowns on two drives. Aaron Rodgers goes 12 of 13 for 120 yards. And TD passes to Alan Lazard, his number one, and his rookie tight end Romeo Doubs. That's how this game starts for the Packers. I can tell you what, having been in Green Bay last week for the game against the Bears, with really only one quarter in which the offense was locked in, that was the second quarter when they were able to put three touchdowns on the board, I wondered if maybe this was the Green Bay Packers that we've been waiting to see. So to get the ball spread around and to only miss out on one pass in those first two drives, and again, to go to both Lazard and the rookie receiver, Romeo Doubs, to have touchdown catches for them. Doubs had a great game, by the way. This was a 14-3 lead for Green Bay at the half. Both the teams have second quarter fumbles. In fact, one was pretty costly. For Green Bay, it was Aaron Jones, and it was right on the goal line. Otherwise, this would have been 21-3 at the break. Because really, that fumble was the only thing that could slow down the Packers on offense in the first half. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. But then through most of the second half, it was the complete opposite. There were more punts than points through most of the second half. Five punts among the two teams. Five in a row in the fourth quarter. Tampa still trailing 14-6. But these are the opportunities that we love. These are the opportunities that Tom Brady lives for. The Bucs get the ball back with 3 minutes and 4 seconds to go, and they march down the field. 13 plays, 89 yards, boom.
It is third down and goal from the one, 18 seconds left. Brady in the shotgun set now. No timeouts. Gage, Darlin, and Perriman. Receivers to the right. Brady takes the snap. Looks, dumps the ball. Call! Is it caught? Is it caught?
Yeah, it's caught ball by Gage. And he took a big shot. He's a little slow getting up.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay. He really took a violent shot.
Here are the Buccaneers to the line of scrimmage. Slot left, slot right. Motion by Gage, snap to Brady. Brady looking, waiting, scrambles right, throws end zone, tipped up into the air. It is incomplete.
Over.
It is incomplete. Devon Ray Campbell tipped it up into the air in the right side of the end zone. And there is your dagger. The Packers defense finally gets the stop. Wow. What dramatics. Turning back. The best to ever do it. And seal this win for the Green Bay Packers. Wow.
That's a lot happening there on that last drive for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So they get the ball back with 3 minutes to go. They march nearly 90 yards. And this was really a feature drive for Russell Gage. So Gage has five catches on this drive. He and Tom Brady with a good connection. Gage finding room, and he's the one who scores the touchdown with 14 seconds to go. But as they're lining up for the two-point conversion, they get a delay of game penalty and have to back up 5 yards. Well, that looks a little bit different, doesn't it? And as you hear with Wayne Larrivee on Packers radio, It's a failed two-point conversion and ultimately a 14-12 score. What's weirder, 11-10 or 14-12? Both odd. And these are four feature teams. The national game on Fox in the afternoon window and then the Sunday night game in Denver. Gene Deckerhoff with the call on Bucks Radio. Aaron Rodgers had most of his damage done early in this game, as I say. It was a really impressive start for the Packers offense. If not for that Aaron Jones fumble on their third drive, maybe they're up even bigger in this game. Rodgers goes 27 of 35 for 255 yards, a couple of touchdowns, and did have a pick.
It is week three. Feels good, for sure. Could be some tiebreaker stuff down the line when you beat a team like this, but it's just week three. With the Bears won and the Vikings won, so there's 3-2-1 teams in the NFC North.
So Rodgers says R-E-L-A-X, even after a win on the road in Tampa. As for Tom Brady,
I love Aaron Rodgers.
Let's not blame the injuries or the defections for this first loss of the year.
I think you'd always, you know, rather play with your with the guys that are, you know, your top players on your team, and but they're not, you know, they're not playing with a lot of their top guys either. So the guys went in there, they fought hard. We just too many mistakes. Even if, you know, I don't know, it looked to me we had a chance to make a lot of plays and we didn't. Doesn't matter really. You know, the guys that were in there, some of the guys did a great job with their opportunities, and we just got to keep doing it. So we're 2-1. There's a lot of football left. We'll keep working at it. And it doesn't get easier next week going up against Chiefs. But, you know, no one feels sorry for us, nor should we. We just got to go back to work.
No one feels sorry for us. Well, he's got that right. Who is ever going to feel sorry for Tom Brady?
You suck, Brady.
Who's ever going to feel sorry for Aaron Rodgers? No one. I mean, these guys have had so much winning and so many individual accolades that people get tired of hearing about them. But can you believe it was only the fifth time they've ever faced each other or their teams have ever faced each other in their long careers? Pretty incredible, right? Who knows how much longer we'll have Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady to kick around. But for now, we still like to kick him around. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This is your operating system talking, not your computers or your phones, but your internal human operating system. I'm feeling a little overloaded. Here's how you can ease my stress. Close your eyes or softly gaze at something in front of you. Now inhale for 4 counts, exhale for 6. Keep repeating. Much better. Longer term, there's BetterHelp Online Therapy. They'll match us with a licensed therapist we can connect with via video, phone, or chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on our first month. If you're feeling down and having trouble getting up in the morning, here's a tip. Brush your teeth. That's it. Often when we wake up, our brains go into planning mode, which leads to overthinking and stress before our head even leaves the pillow. Something simple like brushing your teeth can break that cycle and jumpstart your day. This tip was brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy, which connects you with a licensed therapist via video, phone, or online chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on your first month. If you're feeling down and having trouble getting up in the morning, here's a tip. Brush your teeth. That's it. Often when we wake up, our brains go into planning mode, which leads to overthinking and stress before our head even leaves the pillow. Something simple like brushing your teeth can break that cycle and jumpstart your day. This tip was brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy, which connects you with a licensed therapist via video, phone, or online chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on your first month.